how are you going? Thank you for tuning in to Healthy-ish with me, your host, Felicity Harley. This is the podcast from Body and Soul. Not sure if you've caught the new Heartbreak High on Netflix yet, but the effervescent actress who stars as Quinny joins me today to chat about living life neurodivergent. Chloe Hayden is her name. She's a disability advocate, motivational speaker and influencer, whose story about being different, not less, also the name of her new book, FYI, has attracted a worldwide following. She's going to tell us all about that today. Now, we keep our Healthy-ish episodes short, as you probably already know. So if you want my full chat with Chloe, where she talks about how we can better support neurodivergent friends, just search for Extra Healthy-ish wherever you get your podcasts. Chloe, lovely having you on Healthy-ish. How's your day been so far?
It's been very good. How's your day been?
Oh, thanks for asking. Mine has actually been good. It's sunny, so that always brightens me up.
I know. It's so nice today. I've missed this weather.
I know. Now, tell me, what does neurodivergent mean exactly? I mean, how does a neurodivergent brain differ from a neurotypical one?
So the term neurodivergency wasn't actually coined until the 90s, and it was coined by actually an Australian, which is awesome.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I know. And she's an autistic sociologist named Judy Singer, and she coined the term neurodiversity to describe terms such as autism and ADHD and dyslexia and dyspraxia. And it basically recognizes that both brain function and behavioral differences aren't an inherently bad thing or a problematic thing, and it's simply just a different normal variation in the human genome, and just indicates how diverse the population is. And that's what neurodivergency is.
I love it. It's just so much more inclusive, isn't it, as a term? And already you think, you know what, it doesn't matter how you show up. You show up and we're all one.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, how can those of us who are neurotypical be more inclusive of neurodivergent people in our daily lives? I mean, whether it be in the workplace or community groups or people that we just interact with in our local coffee shop?
Honestly, it's not that difficult. Allow disabled and neurodivergent voices to be heard, and allow yourself to unlearn the bias that is so predominant in every single one of us simply because we've been so infiltrated by media and stereotypes and our incorrect ideas of what disability and autism are, and allow yourself to relearn from actually disabled people. It's not hard to be inclusive. It's as simple as listening and learning and unlearning.
And also talking. I think talking to people.
100%.
You know, often you walk up the street and you see someone who's just not acting, dare I say, normal, and you might cross the other side. Just walk past them, say hello, ask how their day is. It really 100%. Is that easy, isn't it?
Absolutely, 100%.
Now, what about if we have neurodivergent friends? And can you tell us a bit about your journey in this, in how, you know, you struggled a bit making friends when you were a teenager, and then you found your tribe, so to speak. How did you do it, and perhaps how we can better support people in our lives who might fit this description?
So my entire life, I had been taught simply just based on the society that we live in, that I had to change myself in order to be deemed worthy of having friendship. And so for the longest time, up until I was probably 20, I pretended to be someone else because every time I was myself and I let my real self show, people would be like, oh, she's weird. Oh, we don't want to be friends with her. Oh, she's strange. And because of that, I had so many friends when I got diagnosed as autistic, or, you know, told my friends I was autistic. I lost so many friends because they'd be like, oh, we don't want to be friends with someone that's like that. Or like, oh, my mom says I can't be friends with you anymore because you're autistic. I'm not even kidding. This happened to me when I was like 18. I had a friend throughout all of high school, and she was like, hey, babe, I can't be your friend anymore because people tease me that I have an autistic friend. But tell your little sister she's still invited to my birthday party.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
It's, you know what? It's similar to how we can change society. Listen to your autistic friends. And It's as simple as not being a dickhead. Like, be a good human being.
No DH policy. I like that.
Yeah, it's just being a good human being. The last thing we need as well is community service friendships. The amount of friends that I had that were my friend because it made them have a hero complex. They felt good about themselves for being friends with, you know, the token disabled person. Treat your friends, treat your autistic friend, treat your disabled friend, treat your neurodivergent friend the same way that you would treat any other of your friends, which I would hope would be with respect and with mutual understanding, and with love and just human decency.
Yeah, a good point. And I think you also made an interesting point in your book, which stuck with me, is invite them to parties. And, you know, I have three kids, yes, and I'm thinking, right, I'm going to do that now. Thank you.
100%. And you know what? The amount of times that I got left out of parties, both as a kid, because they were like, oh, we don't want to invite her, she's weird. But also as a teenager, simply because, and a lot of the time it wasn't out of malice. It was just, Chloe doesn't like coming to things, so why would I invite her? But knowing that it was my choice to say no rather than never having that choice in the first place would make such a world of difference.
So do you feel included now in society? I mean, now you're, you know, you're in Heartbreak High, congratulations, you're on a billboard as I drive into my street every day. And do you feel included?
I feel included because I've chosen the correct groups to be a part of. I know that in society as a whole, I still very much am not included. And I know that my neurotype isn't accepted by a lot of people still. But I now surround myself with people and in groups, in social circles where who I am isn't deemed less than, and I'm just simply Chloe, and I'm the same as anyone else in my groups. And as a whole, it is getting a lot better than it was when I was growing up. But it also, a lot of it is that I've just learned to find my people, and yeah, I know that the people that I'm with are going to accept me no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there's been a few high-profile women who've come out as neurodivergent recently. We've got Hayden Ricciano, Clementine Ford, Abby Chatfield. Now, for anyone who's listening who is thinking, you know what, this could be me, whether they're 20s, 30s, 40s, what's your message to them?
You have always been this way. Being neurodivergent isn't something that you suddenly get or that suddenly attaches to you. If you think that you might be neurodivergent and you think that getting a diagnosis is something that is going to help you better understand who you are and better understand your identity, go and get the diagnosis. Nothing changes except for having a better understanding of your mindset and who you are, which can only be good.
Did that help you getting a, you know, diagnosis or a label as, you know, help you deal with it or
immensely.
Just move on? Yes.
Yeah, I think at the start it was scarier because back then I was 13 years old and this was 12 years ago. And when you Googled it, the only things that came up were like these horrible, like fear-based articles, you know, doctors saying like, your life is over if your kid is autistic and here's how you can cure them. And like parent groups saying like, oh my God, like how do I stop my kid being autistic and my life is over and all that sort of stuff. Like it was scary. It sucked. I'm like, damn, like being autistic is a death sentence, but it's not that anymore. You know, we have people with lived experience talking out about it and we don't have those stereotypes anymore. And now like being autistic, and I got diagnosed with ADHD 2 years ago. And the day that I got diagnosed, it was a celebration because I'm like, oh my God, I understand myself more now. And I got to go and learn about ADHD from genuine sources, you know, rather than these fear-mongering articles. And I learned so much about myself and I understood so much more about myself. And I was able to give myself that validation and understanding as well, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for coming on Healthy-ish today and keep up the good work.
Thanks so much for having me.
Chloe's book is called Different, Not Less, and it is out now. And oh, by the way, before you go, make sure you follow her on Instagram. I tell you what, her feed will just boost your mood. It is so joyful and colourful and highly recommend following her. I also highly recommend listening to other episodes of Healthy-ish or Extra Healthy-ish. Jumping online, bodyandsoul.com.au. And of course, you can follow us on social media as well. Thanks for listening to my chat with Chloe. And if you have a moment, we'd be so grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. And until tomorrow, stay healthy-ish. News doesn't have to be boring.
The Brits have given Prince Harry a new nickname after yet another tell-all interview.
Oh, God, is it the ginger whinger?
Let the team at news.com.au get you up to speed each day with their podcast from the newsroom.
A couple were busted joining the Mile High Club.
Well, I guess they can't fly Virgin anymore.
Politics, sport, red carpets, royals. Get all the goss in just a few minutes. Follow From the Newsroom wherever you get your podcast from.